What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, January 28th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside for the final time as a filthy part-timer, the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki doki, Greg Miller. Good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
Kevin Coelho comes in this morning and says, Jared, I have these giant googly eyes. Yeah. I want you to paste them to the back of your head.
If you are an audio-only listener, you've missed out on a visual gag, as we call it in the industry.
Did you see them earlier today?
Oh, yeah. I saw when you were talking to Barrett over there while we were doing the Kinda Funny podcast. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
darn, that's too bad.
Yeah, no.
The idea was to surprise you.
To surprise me? Oh, yes. God. You can't slip anything past me.
No, you can't.
Except for Nick Scarpino, who hid between my bed and a wall on this world tour trip we just did.
Whoa. I didn't hear about that.
It's on the subreddit. It's in the Kinda Funny podcast. You can catch on Friday as well. Jared, enough about me.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Your final Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Sad. Very, very, very sad.
Yeah.
I feel full of weeping and gnashing of teeth right now.
Yeah.
I went through the same thing on Gamescast and the same thing on Debatable, but now it's like it's all coming
down. It's real,
down
right? Now it's the final show. It's the final real show here. Yeah, exactly.
I remember a long time ago, you said to me once, he was like, someday we're going to make content together.
Yeah.
Like, and I wondered if it would ever happen. At that time, I was working in a different company, you were working in a different place, and it happened. And it was the best year I've had in probably a decade. It was the most fun I've had doing a job in ages and ages and ages. It made me happier than just about anything ever has. I loved it. And my solution to all of that was to, you know, walk away from it.
Of course. So, yeah. It can be this good. It can be better. Yeah. Jared, if somebody only listens to Kinda Funny Games Daily, they might not know what we're talking about. What is up in your life?
Yeah. So I got a new job. I can say a little bit about it now. I work for a place called Free Association. I'm going to mostly be writing. You have not heard the last of me, that's all I can say right now.
Okay,
it's a perfect job for Jared.
Yeah, I'm excited for whatever else you can announce one day about it.
It's a really neat gig, and I couldn't be happier. It could not be a better fit for me, and so I'm really just looking forward to going on and doing something new and fascinating, but Lord, I'm going to miss this.
Yeah, and there's always that chance maybe you can come back for other stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't think that this is the last time you'll see me.
Okay.
No. Good. That's and then when it comes to the stuff that I make, Red Dead Radio's last episode goes up this week.
Okay.
There'll be one more Hot Blip and a Jump, some other things like that. And I'll keep doing stuff like Pockets Full of Soup. But some of my like content output is going to have to be throttled back because this is a full-time
gig. Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a lot of work, actually.
Yeah.
Although I'm pretty thrilled about the work.
Well, I can't wait to see more about it, Jared.
Yeah, I can't either. Thank you for having me here. Kinda Funny best friends, I think you know this, right? But these guys and gals are just they're better than they seem to be on camera. Like, they seem pretty great, and somehow they're better when you know them in real life. And this stuff's not made up. They've really just, not just for me, but I've seen for lots of other people, shown real kindness, compassion, empathy, concrete help. Greg, thanks a lot.
I expect to cry at the end of the show, not the beginning.
I'm sorry, I'm getting there too. There was a thing, somebody said something nice on the Reddit. Tim showed it to me yesterday.
Yeah.
I tried to reply twice yesterday.
Yeah.
And I kept tearing up, and I was like, I will get through this and thank them, but I haven't done it yet. Like, I just, there we go. Because it's why can't I do everything that's fun at the same time?
Yeah, right. Only if we could clone each other.
If days were 72 hours long, that I could. And God,
we'll save it for the end.
If you didn't know,
ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Bronze members get to give us their questions, get to be part of the show. Of course, silver members also get the show ad-free as an MP3 and video. Plus, you get access to the Kinda Funny Games cast, ad-free MP3, pre-show, post-show. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff over on patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. You can watch us record this show live on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. For everybody watching later on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Wednesday, we are doing another 12-hour stream here at Kinda Funny. You can go to twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Watch along with us. It is the end cap to our fundraising month here of January, if you didn't know. Over on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, we are raising money for the future of Kinda Funny. We're funding a world tour. We just did Arizona over the weekend. It was amazing and spectacular and incredible. We want to see how far we can get, if we can make it to London, if we can make it to Australia. We want to hang out with you, and we have a whole bunch of cool things to do.
Greg Miller, before you move on, my question about that, how are you doing a 12-hour stream on Wednesday? I walked through the back room, and Tim and Nick, you know, in movies when like people are on like straw pallets in the Middle Ages dying?
Yeah.
Like, that's what they look like right now.
Sure.
Like, how will
they're
they do
weak-willed
it?
People. Okay. You understand? Like, Tim and I both had demos booked this afternoon to go do, and Tim's like, I don't think I can make it to mine. I'm like, I'm not missing mine. I'm going to play this game. God damn it. You know what I mean? I'm Greg Miller, and I'll work till I die. Okay. There's a reason my hair is gray, and it's because I don't treat myself or my body with the respect it deserves, and I'll be dead in the ground before I do it.
Wow. I maybe you're Krang. Like, if you open up your shirt, there's just a little you inside, and this is all just a robot suit.
If
there
was, if I was to open up my shirt and see a thing, you would have all seen it a long time.
That's a very good point.
The other thing is, we're sponsored today by Quip and Alien Blackout, but I'll tell you more about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
We have a breaking one that one Barrett Courtney, who didn't want to come to the Kinda Funny World Tour.
I wasn't invited.
He tossed it in there. So I'm going to read from PC Gamer. The headline, Metro Exodus will only release on the Epic Store, but Steam pre-orders will be honored. You're jumping in fresh with me as we go. This is from Samuel Roberts over at PCGamer.com. Metro Exodus will release solely on the Epic Games Store when it launches on February 15th. Epic and publisher Deep Silver have revealed today. This follows news from earlier this month, where it was revealed that The Division 2 was coming to Epic Games Store as part of a multi-game agreement with Ubisoft. If you've already pre-ordered the game on Steam, this is Metro, you'll be able to play it there. Epic's exact words on the subject are that, quote, any customer with an outstanding pre-order for Metro Exodus on PC through any digital retailer will receive their game as expected, end quote. You can currently pre-order on Steam, but not for long, it seems. You'll find this notice now. Quote, later today, sales of Metro Exodus will be discontinued on Steam due to a publisher decision to make the game exclusive to another PC store. The developer and publisher have assured us that all prior sales on the game, on Steam will be fulfilled on Steam, and Steam owners will be able to access the game and any future updates or DLC through Steam. We think the decision to remove the game is unfair to Steam customers, especially after a long pre-sale period. We apologize to Steam customers that were expecting it to be available for sale through the February 15th release date, but we were only recently informed of the decision and given limited time to let everyone know, end quote. Intriguingly, the game will cost $50 on Epic Store in the US when it was originally listed on Steam for the usual $59.99. Epic's competitive revenue split of 88-12 is hinted to be the reason for the leaner price. Quote, we are delighted to partner with Epic to bring the digital PC version of Metro Exodus to the market, comments Deep Silver CEO Clemens Kundratz. Epic's generous revenue terms are a game changer that will allow publishers to invest more into content creation or pass on savings to the players. By teaming up with Epic, we will be able to invest more into the future of Metro and our ongoing partnership with series developer 4A Games to benefit our Metro fans. The price in the UK remains unchanged at €50, though. Or is it pounds? Upside down L?
That's pounds.
Okay,
that's
cool. Pounds. No, make sure. It'd be an E. I've seen the euros.
At least until Brexit, then it's like...
I've had 3 hours of sleep, so I'm just running out. Is there a planner? And then it goes on and on. Jared, takeaways.
All right. Well, first off, holy money hat, Batman.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know if there was a infusion of cash to motivate this. I mean, I don't know if there was some deal where suddenly Epic just throws a bunch of money at him and says, hey, come on over here.
Right.
Or whether it was simply the fact that they figured they could sell more copies at 50 than 60, and that 88-12 allowed them to drop to that, so they sell more copies, make more revenue that way. Maybe it's an all of the above. But this is Epic playing the game, man. This is Epic doing what they've done over the last few weeks. Whoever is running their business plan and marketing, smart, because for Epic to succeed, they have to create the perception that they are the place to be.
Yeah,
they have to very quickly create a perception that they are a store that people are going to and have to go to if they want to play the best games. And they have once and then again created exclusivity situations that give that appearance. It only takes a few wins for them to be considered legitimate. And looking at this, I think we're there.
This Deep Silver CEO is a big swing here, right? Yeah. Epic's generous revenue terms are a game changer that will allow publishers to invest more in content creation or pass the savings on to the players, period.
Yeah.
Meaning that, like, that's not only Epic a feather in their cap, it's Deep Silver kind of calling everybody's bluff, right? Yeah. Or is every Deep Silver game that goes to the Epic Store now going to be $50?
Maybe. Yeah. And if it is, that, I mean, come to the Epic Store.
Sure. You know? And that's the thing, too. You have to imagine for a game like Metro and a publisher like Deep Silver. What, and again, Metro has its fan base. I'm not trying to take away from it, yeah. but it's never been a juggernaut success, a mm-hmm. huge hit. You figure any publicity, right? And so to get mentioned right now in this way alongside Division 2 to be one of the premier AAA yeah. games that's out there, right? That is, hey, this game so many people have wanted that was on the Xbox stage at E3 and blew everybody away with graphics.
Yeah.
You can get it here $10 cheaper.
Right.
And that's what we always talk about with these digital storefronts, right? Is passing that savings.
Yeah. I mean, I've had people point out, hey, Steam has more features than the Epic Store. Steam does things the Epic Store doesn't do for its customers. I think there's probably some truth to that observation. But $10 is $10. Right. And which speaks louder, extra features or the game for less money? In my opinion, the latter. And I think that gives them a real heads up in this argument. I think they did what they needed to do out the gate. They proved that they could be a legitimate contender. They gave away games people wanted to play. They are offering new games for less money, and they're offering exclusive games. And that makes them look like the real deal. And I think if they're willing to lose money in these early stages to make that happen,
right.
so in the long term they can own the marketplace, they're yeah. totally going
to
do it.
And I think it's important to point out, this is mainly for me, not for you as much, because you do use PC games and you do yeah. you do Steam stuff. There was a Reddit thread on the Kind of Funny subreddit recently that was like, the guys don't know what they're talking about half the time when they talk about Steam versus Epic, right? Because I think I made a comment on when Epic changed his refund policy where I was like, oh, that's one of the few things they had. And like Steam's got, as you're saying, Steam's got a bunch of mm-hmm. bells and whistles and things under the hood that are better or mm-hmm. are different or whatever than yep. Epic. And that's a great point. As you all know, like we read the news stories, we give you the industry perspective we have, but my industry perspective on what's actually happening between the Steam Store and the Epic Store, completely different because I'm not entrenched in those markets.
Yeah.
However, I think this isn't what we're talking about in terms of if I was about to make this move and I was thinking about it, it's $10.
Yeah.
And it's headline grabbing right now. And if it's a different, like, if it's, you know, again, this is a very Greg Miller thing. This is a very, I mean, like, I'd be getting this game to play it and just play it. Mm-hmm. I don't need to worry about what's going on in the back end or what right. how I'm talking or chatting or friends list. Or that's just not what I'm about.
Yeah.
And granted, that's this game very specifically. But I do think it is Epic, as you see here, is not stupid. They understand where they're lacking. That's why they turned that refund policy around and communicated it so clearly. I feel like yep. anything they're behind on right now, they're working on, and Steam can't rest on its laurels and expect that not to be a problem.
No, and I expect Steam to come back swinging in some way. Like, they're not just going to sit there in conservatism and do nothing when they watch a legitimate contender building momentum. Yeah. I have a feeling we're going to see some innovations out of Steam, some counterpunches fairly soon.
Do you see it? Do you think you see a thing of, not threats, that sounds weird, but is there a thing where if this doesn't pay off, Steam plays harder with Deep Silver? Like, let's say Epic doesn't, the store just doesn't go anywhere. Deep Silver does want to get back on Steam. Maybe they were only trying for this game because of a deal with Epic. Is there some kind of thing?
No, I don't think that plays to their benefit. I don't think retaliation helps them.
Okay.
I think ultimately, if you're a store, the last thing you want to do is alienate your the people that provide things to sell on your shelves. I mean, ultimately, Valve does need people. Valve does need things like Metro.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't think that plays in your hands. Don't alienate them. Instead, incentivize. Go the other way. Create a friendlier relationship. Welcome them back with open arms and new terms. Give them a better deal.
Do you think Steam's gonna back down on this revenue split? Do you think
they have to.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I think they have to.
Interesting.
I don't think I have a choice anymore.
Yeah. Interesting. And do you think you will see, I mean, Ubisoft, when they announced that for Division 2, I was in Austin. I was in a car with some of the other people, and I was like, what the fuck? And they're like, what about this? I'm like, this is what it says, right? That's yeah. just Epic. Like, do you yeah. see other big publishers going that way?
I think that we'll see more big publishers head to Epic as Epic indeed continues to undercut that. And I think we'll see Steam innovate and become more competitive. I think no matter what, we're going to see two stores coexisting for some time.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I do think
Steam's like got so much mindshare, so much money. If they're going into a war, they have the war chest. Now, Epic has a war chest of money,
yeah.
but now it's goodwill and customers and yeah. users. And
I think Valve could just come out and just frankly say, you know, hey, we're innovating with the marketplace. We've seen changes, and we're changing the way we do business, too.
Interesting.
That's my guess.
It's going to be fascinating. Can't wait to keep seeing how it goes.
Yeah, I think they'll highlight how great their features are and say, and by the way, you can buy games for $50 here now too. I mean, that's one possibility.
Interesting. Everybody, stay tuned. Number two on the Roper Report, Resident Evil 2 Ghost Survivors is on its way. This is from Twitter. The Ghost Survivors is coming as a free update to Resident Evil 2 starting February 15th. Explore what-if stories of three unfortunate souls who never made it out of Raccoon City. The gun shop owner, the mayor's daughter, the soldier. These are episodes then, Jared? You added this in. Time to Mourn, Runaway, and Forgotten Soldier.
Those are actually from the tweet, those three. Those are the names of the three stories. Yeah, so each of these are kind of a little what-if vignette where you're going to play as these characters.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
That's new, right? That's not something we saw in Resident Evil 2 originally.
If it was in Resident Evil 2 originally, I don't remember it.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Yeah, I never played it, certainly. I mean, you had the segments where you're playing as other characters, but these are what if they hadn't died in the spot? What if this thing hadn't happened? And you play out a little adventure with each of them. That's a great free bonus.
God, totally. And I think that's like the one criticism we've seen of Resident Evil 2, right? It seems to be this idea that the campaigns aren't different enough.
Uh-huh.
It does feel like we're doing the same thing over and over. Which one's candy idea? To reuse the maps, the area, to jump in, give you new characters and new story? Yeah, sure. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and I expect each of these to be like 20 minutes to half an hour.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't expect them to be like, very super chunky, stories, right?
But I like that. I don't know. Why not? I mean, I never thought I'd want to know what happened to like the Canadian gun store guy, but now I kind of wonder.
Now you have to.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, did you play Resident Evil over the weekend?
No, I did not play Resident Evil over the weekend. Uh-huh. This weekend was dedicated to trying to finish things that I've needed to get done.
Sure.
So that I can switch jobs.
Yeah.
And of course, to having a birthday party that all the kind of funny people didn't go to because they had to go off to Arizona and meet with the best friends.
Well, that's why Barrett went, right? He went to represent Kind of Funny at your birthday party.
He did not come to my birthday party.
Way to go,
He was
Barrett.
Invited, didn't show up.
God damn it, Barrett.
Sorry.
You know
I had to take care of a sick girlfriend.
Oh, here we go.
I hear that. You know that's right.
Look, I've never even seen this girlfriend.
Yeah.
I've met her several times.
Yeah, I think so too.
I wasn't even invited to Arizona.
You should have just come. I'm excited to see that. Number three, there's a new Dragon Ball game, Project Z Action RPG, announced for 2019. This is from Adam Bankhurst at IGN, a Kind of Funny best friend who will be co-hosting soon. Dragon Ball game Project Z, an action RPG that looks to follow the story of Goku and Dragon Ball Z, is headed to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC later this year.
Best on PC.
Revealed during the Red Bull Final Summoning Dragon Ball Fighter Z tournament. Dragon Ball game Project Z will see players, quote, discover the story of the mysterious Dragon Balls and join Goku and fellow warriors in the never-ending search for the ultimate fight.
So I put this in the news because a Dragon Ball action RPG is a pretty nifty idea. Like, I think that's something people get on board with. I am not a Dragon Ball guy. I feel like we need to have a different kind of funny cross-section in here to cover this one, unfortunately, that aren't available right now.
I'll have you know that I've reviewed Dragon Ball games, right? I know about Guy.
Yeah, but are you a Dragon Ball dude?
Young Goku, okay. And then Goku,
Krillin,
yeah. Got that big hair.
Sounds
that,
right.
That
sounds
Vegeta.
Like a thing. That sounds like a thing.
A bunch of people named after underpants.
Yeah, you exactly. Got, yeah. Got
named
no,
food.
Good for them. Good, go get them. Action RPG, why not?
Well, I think that's a good setting for that because they're usually fighting games, and the fighting games are. I mean, they're kind of that MVC2 histrionic, big old ba-boom, you know. Dragon Ball has 20 episode fights, but I like the idea of what if they leaned into the idea of telling an original story? That seems like a kind of a cool fit for Dragon Ball, where people are leveling up and powering up, and so I think this could be a good fit.
Yeah, go get them, Dragon Ball fans! I still don't understand how to say Dragon Ball Fighters with a Z at the end of it.
Fighters.
It's very much like the ETFs. Somebody corrects me, and I'm like, I'll remember it, and then I never remember it. Number three. Spider-Man just got some fantastic new threads. Woo. This is from Aaron Greenbaum at Big Twinfinite.
Yeah, I had to get
one
in there.
One more Twinfinite story.
Had to get it in there. That's right. Where's my check?
The Yummy. PlayStation 4 exclusive Marvel Spider-Man is as much a standalone spectacular experience as it is a celebration of the friendly neighborhood wall crawler's history. And the team at Insomniac Games isn't done celebrating just yet. Starting today, gamers who install patch 1.14 for Spider-Man will find two new additions to their spider suit wardrobe that reference two of Spidey's more fantastic adventures, pun intended, because both suits reference times he teamed up with the Fantastic Four. The first costume, the Bombastic Bagman, is a callback to The Amazing Spider-Man number 258, wherein Spidey visited Reed Richards, aka Mr. Fantastic, to examine the black symbiote suit that later became Venom. He managed to pry off the suit, which left Spider-Man without any clothes. Enter the Human Torch, who loaned Spider-Man an old, ill-fitting Fantastic Four suit. Of course, the suit didn't have a mask to hide Spider-Man's identity, so the Human Torch, the eternal prankster that he is, handed Spider-Man a grocery bag. It wasn't much, but it would do, thus giving birth to the bombastic Bagman. Sadly, since all the promotional images feature the front of the suit, we don't know yet if the costume includes the infamous kick me sign on the back. I know from the Reddit it does not.
Oh,
it does not include that.
That's rough.
The second costume, the Future Foundation suit, looks more like something Spider-Man would wear slash design. Thanks to the big black spider on the front and the white and black color scheme, the suit has some vaguely anti-Venom Spider-Gwen stylings, but that's hardly a complaint. Well, it's actually based on the Future Foundation.
Right.
Like, when he did that, that's how the suit looked in the comics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was super excited to see that because, of course, Marvel Games tweeted forever, or Marvel Games and Insomniac tweeted forever ago when they were doing Fantastic Week. Yeah. They're so excited about the relaunch of the Fantastic Four, and Insomniac gave eyes, and everybody's like, what the hell? Where's it going to be? And then we never heard anything.
Right. It just vanished.
And even yesterday, I think I saw on the Spider-Man subreddit people being like, they totally forgot about this. What the hell? Blah, 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 blah. Right. And here it is.
Let's not go to the Spider-Man subreddit.
Hey, man, there's a lot of good people on the Spider-Man PS4 subreddit like myself, all right?
All right.
Don't let the Raimi suit people define us.
Well, you know what? I'm very, very, very happy about the Bagman. That's adorable.
Oh, yeah,
it's
totally.
Just the kind of video gamey thing.
Was one of my things when I talked to Brian and when I, not complained, but, critiqued the game. It was like, a lot of the suits feel samey. This is the kind of stuff I wanted a little bit more of, right?
Yeah,
the goofy, weird ones.
Yeah, you want the goofy. Have they done the spider armor yet?
Oh, yeah. The silver
armor.
Yeah.
Was that the original?
Amazing Spider-Man 300 or whatever.
Yeah, I remember they had that. Maybe.
That was in the base game, yeah.
That was in the base game. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Well, no. Hold on. We're talking about the classic, the cover of him like this, and it's like this chunky silver armor.
Chunky
that was
silver
DLC.
Armor.
This is one of the problem with Spider-Man. There's a million spider armors in there.
Right.
Well, I'm talking about the chunky, but yeah,
it's got like that texture of like the, not shoulder, but it's like broken into squares. Yeah,
that issue contains one of my favorite dumb wonderful lines from comics history.
He's
fighting a character and the villain goes, "The more experienced among us know when to sow the kernels of chaos." And I was like, that is fantastic comic writing. And then he throws like spores on Spider-Man that eat away his armor.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I remember having that issue, but I don't remember like anything inside of it.
He fights a team of like new supervillains that come together, and he whoops up on them.
That's
what Spider-Man, and it's awesome. Does. He gets frozen at the end, like he's about to lose and they think they've got him. And then he just like breaks the armor, and then he's still Spider-Man underneath him. Kicks the crap out of him.
Hell yeah. Number five, login issue spread beyond Anthem to login issues at EA spread beyond Anthem to FIFA, Battlefield 5, and Battlefront 2. Holy crap. This is Matt Kim at US Gamer.
Now, this story, before we read it, comes from Friday, but it's been updated.
Sure.
Most of this is contemporary to Friday, and the reason I put it in here is because it kind of continues through the weekend, and there's an update at the end
that
has more.
Thank you very much for the context. More EA games appear to be suffering from online issues following earlier reports that Anthem's servers hit max capacity. Players are reporting issues logging in to play EA titles like FIFA 19, Battlefield 5, and Star Wars Battlefront 2. EA launched a VIP demo for Anthem this morning, Friday, for customers who pre-ordered the game or subscribed to EA's Access service. Within minutes of going live, Anthem servers were reportedly maxed out, preventing players from logging into a session. EA's official support Twitter account said the developers were working hard to fix the problem and get the servers running for more players to join. The problem with EA's online servers seemed to extend beyond Anthem, as EA's support account later tweeted that it is looking into login issues across all of its games and services. Some players wondered if Anthem servers were affecting other EA titles, but EA reps say it's a login issue, not a server-based one. Update. As of this writing, EA's Anthem status page says servers are up and running, and EA's help account says login services are recovering. However, not everything is clear yet as service issues persist for Xbox One users.
No, again, that was as of Friday. Now, because of my former involvement in some of this stuff,
correct me if I'm wrong, you built the servers at EA. That's what you did?
Definitely. Okay, yeah, I was a server. No, that is not what I did. But because of my former involvement, this is one of the ones I'm not going to comment on much, but I thought that it was newsworthy and that you might.
Oh, well, it's a good follow-up, right, of what happened. Because, obviously we talked about on Friday, hey, the VIP demo's going live, everybody's going to play, And then it was throughout the day, login issues persisted, right? I couldn't get on here.
Yeah.
Andy got in finally. Kevin kept having problems. And it was that thing of seeming to mar an otherwise fantastic experience. Everybody who was playing was like, oh, my God, this is so good, so cool. But issues here. But, again, this is kind of why you do this, right? This is the point of these betas, is to stress test and see what the problems are and hopefully get ahead of them, even though it's so hard to you know, do the compound math, complex math here of like, oh, well, if this is happening with this and we expand it to that and when the game, who knows? But it sucks, but it did seem like they got a handle on it and then it was back to everybody playing, enjoying it. Farmer Josh writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. It says, hey, Kind of Funny crew, let's get to the point. I'm having a hard time getting behind Anthem. I don't have time for these kinds of games anymore. Given EA's track record with me as of late, the extremely underwhelming Battlefield 5 and not being able to sell me a Star Wars game. Seriously, I'll gobble up anything for Star Wars. How do you fuck this up? I'm worried that Anthem will be another cash grab, microtransaction riddled, incomplete upon release game. I will not support this behavior any longer. On the other hand, I love BioWare. They are my all-time favorite developer. I want to support BioWare, and I feel guilty I'm not buying Anthem. I feel like I'm punishing an outstanding group of individuals because of the actions of EA. Do I cave and buy Anthem for BioWare, or do I stick to my guns and vote with my wallet against EA? I'm really torn. Thoughts?
All right, so again, this is one of those ones that I really shouldn't touch.
Sure.
So,
it's a complex question, Josh. Is Andy still here? Can you give me a check?
Andy!
Because he played it, I know, and he has thoughts on all this, and he's a huge BioWare fan.
Yeah, and like, there's an open beta this weekend, right?
Yeah, there's more. You can play more of it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're questioning it, I would say jump in this weekend.
Big Andy, can you jump on the mic there? Can we get that mic turned up there, Barry Courtney?
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
Farmer Josh wrote in a question about the whole Anthem stuff.
Sure.
Right? We talked a little bit about the server issues,
right.
How they've worked, and they were affecting other things. You played, right?
Yeah.
Well, what did you think?
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, what I could play. I'm not going to say it's without its faults.
Of course.
And apparently they weren't even server issues.
Yeah.
Apparently it was just general bugs. So I saw Mike Gamble, who's the producer, say, hey, it's not server
EA
issues.
EA reps say it's a login issue, not a server-based
Yeah,
one.
They were saying, like, look, it's not a server load thing. They have, like, you know, they're doing well. Kevin tried to play. Kevin experienced way more bugs than I did.
Kevin, what bugs did you run into? What did you run into?
So I played for a solid, like, 30 to 45 minutes. Yeah. And
keep in mind, everybody, if you're like, what? Oh, this is because we had to go to Arizona. We didn't have to. We went to Arizona for the Kind of Funny World Tour, so this is before we ran off.
And I was experiencing some really weird issues where... my character, I would move forward and it would rubber band me back to where I was like moments earlier, which made it extremely difficult to play.
Sure.
But what little I actually played successfully, I really enjoyed. The flying mechanic is fantastic. I was able to like get into like stuff without a problem, but it was just the rubber banding was happening.
Gotcha.
Consistently.
And I kept running into the 95% load issue where it would get to 95% loaded for a level and then it would stop there. So you would have to start the game over. I had that happen to me maybe about four times in about 3 hours worth of playing. But, I mean, I did tons of missions. I really enjoy being in first person in the
Javelin?
I forgot what the...
Oh, the hub world?
The hub world. I forgot what it's called already. Fort Tarsus.
Okay.
Being in first person in Fort Tarsus feels way more meaningful than running around in a hub world in Destiny.
Yeah.
I feel like just when the NPCs are looking at you and talking to you, it feels more personal. It feels like I'm absorbing the story more.
Okay.
Farmer
Josh has this. Here's his dilemma, right? I'm worried that Anthem will be another cash grab, microtransaction riddled, incomplete game upon release. I will not support this behavior any longer. On the other hand, I love BioWare. They are my all-time favorite developer. I want to support them, but I feel guilty buying Anthem. From what you're seeing, are you seeing signs of this could be a microtransaction thing down the line? You're getting walled, you're getting gated, anything like that?
I mean, I haven't noticed anything like that. I mean, I only played about 3 hours worth.
Sure.
And they start you kind of in the middle of the game. And so they made it very clear that the demo that you're seeing is not really indicative at all of what you're going to see at launch in terms of what the economy is going to be. There are things that are like purposefully like missing or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you to see that stuff or whatever. But, I mean, I can't really see anything yet that I would notice. I'd say like... because there were so many bugs and stuff, they are giving everybody who played for the VIP a certain skin, I guess.
Gotcha.
I forgot what they're calling it, a decal maybe. So I'm assuming, they're probably going to try to sell decals and really cool, like, decorative things for
I think this is Josh's
Javelin.
Question is this. Do I cave and buy Anthem for BioWare, or do I stick to my guns and vote with my wallet against EA? He's torn.
I mean,
you bring up a great question.
Wait for it.
There's another beta happening this week.
Yeah, and it's open, so you can go check it out and stuff.
And then,
I will. And then
to your thing of things are locked out and we don't know, I think it's, this is then wait. Wait for the reviews and wait and see if it is EA learning from mistakes of the past and, you know, empowering BioWare to make something different or if it is them, quote-unquote, ruining BioWare or doing something like that.
Yeah, talking to the NPCs in the world already,
If you want to continue this conversation, give me $5. It's a loot box of responses.
I mean, I just enjoyed this one conversation I had with one of the main sort of NPCs that you encounter in the story. And the conversation was very funny and witty. And immediately I was like, oh, this feels more personal than kind of most things that I've experienced in Destiny. Where in Destiny, I feel like the only times that I kind of chuckled was maybe Nolan North saying something. Where with this,
fucking
like,
Nolan, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I love the voice acting. I sort of love the whole vibe. And just flying around in the Javelin feels badass and shooting stuff. It's like you just feel really cool.
Okay.
It's such a simple thing to say, but yeah, you feel cool as shit.
Hey, man, that's what games are about, right? Yeah. You're supposed to be escapism.
I'm totally in. I am like set in on playing this.
Well, there you go.
We squatting up this weekend?
Yeah, let's do it.
And you'll have thoughts then as we get closer. Next Gamecast, we'll have more. And then, of course, it'll hit and you'll have a million reviews. So I say just wait, Josh. Figure it out. Vote with your wallet based on the right information. Send the right message. Number five, six, actually. Detective Pikachu sequel in the works with 22 Jump Street writer exclusive.
All right.
This is from Boris Kitt at the Hollywood Reporter.
This seems like a screencast news item here, if anything, Mr. Greg Miller.
I'm not. Jared put it together.
All right.
I'm just reading into what happened.
This is a video game motion picture based on a major franchise, Barrett Courtney.
Kevin!
Go home and take care of your fake girlfriend and don't come to my birthday.
Kevin!
Jared, you've met Alyssa.
She's not real. You're making her up.
You love her.
You put hallucinogenics in my drink that night.
I think you did.
More than you like me.
That's fair. That's true.
I definitely like her.
That's
more
why
than
we
I
invited
like
her, but she got sick. She couldn't come to Arizona.
She's really superior to you in every way.
Barrett has spoken. You can hear about Detective Pikachu sequel. And that's the headline, so I mean you have it. But it'll be on screencast with Kevin on Friday. And let me tell you, Jared, I can't wait for that screencast.
Yeah?
But Friday's still so far away.
It is far away.
If I wanted to know more pertinent video game only news, like say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
I'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today! The Devil's Calculator on PC and Mac.
That's some dirty, sexy math.
That
right
sounds
there.
Good, man.
The Devil's Calculator.
I don't know what. You're just writing boobs over and over again. 8-0-0-8-5. Adventureland, the code MMORPG on PC. Drumbeats VR on Steam VR. Aviolution on PC and Mac. Biathlon Battle VR, Steam VR. Good luck getting that one out there. And that's it for that. No new dates for you.
No new dates?
No new dates.
No, not at all.
And then we have a deal of the day Jared put in here. Wario 64 Masters of Doom. How two guys cheated or created an empire and transformed pop culture. The Kindelition is just one. Oh, I see what it is. Let me try this again. Wario 64 is reporting. Masters of Doom. The book, How Two Guys Created an Empire and Transformed Pop Culture, Kindle Edition, is only $2 on Amazon today.
If you're going to read one book about video games, read that one.
Yeah, so you've read it. I know it's required reading. I've never read it.
Yeah.
So this has to be my time to pick it up.
It's $2. And it's a great book about making a video game. It doesn't matter if you care about Doom or not. It's just a great book about how video games get made, written in a very approachable, concise way.
All right.
It's a really cool story. If you want to know more about how games come together, this is the book to read.
All right. You know what, Jared?
Yeah.
I think I will. That's a good deal of the day. Thank you, Wario64 and Jared Petty for seeing that and doing that. Get me some reading materials, you know?
Yeah.
It's time for Reader Mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors, Quip and Alien Blackout. For starters, let's go with Quip. The new year means new resolutions, and we've got one you're working on twice every day. If your oral health... it is your oral health. And with a Quip electric toothbrush, sticking to good habits is simple. The guiding features are like a built-in support system for better brushing. I wasn't expecting to get tripped up by this Quip ad so much, but it's probably because I haven't brushed my teeth today.
Oh!
It's true.
I slept 3 hours. I brushed them and then I got on the plane. What do you want me to do? Ladies and gentlemen, you know that we love Quip. You know that Gia uses it. You know that Nick uses it. You know Nick stole the one that came to the office. That's why he uses it. But it pulsates every 30 seconds. He brushes his teeth for 2 minutes. All the rest of us now go, are we brushing our teeth for 2 minutes? We need to get Quip, and now you can too. If you didn't know, it's got that built-in 2-minute timer. It's got a multi-use cover that works as a stand. It mounts to mirrors, and it slides over your bristles to pack and protect your Quip on the go. Brush heads are automatically delivered to your door on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. It's a friendly reminder when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health. Instead of what I do, where I look at it, I'm like, this toothbrush looks gross.
Yeah.
Probably time to switch it out.
Probably time to switch it out. But Quip's like, no, we'll tell you before it gets gross and horrible.
Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals, and they have thousands of verified five-star reviews. So that's why we all love it, why Nick uses it, and why we're all going to get it one day. That's why you need to get it too. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. Our next sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, it's Alien Blackout. If you remember, Alien Blackout came out last week as a mobile game.
Yep.
We didn't report it as a date. A kind of funny best friend listens to the show and works on the game and hit me up and he's like, hey, saw you didn't report on it. We'd love it if we get new dates. Put it in new dates. He gave a review proving the game was good, and then they sponsored the show.
Well, there you go.
That's how it happened. That's legitimately how it happened. So let's talk about Alien Blackout. Could you survive standing face to face with the perfect bioengineered killing machine?
No, I could not.
No, neither would I. If you are like me, you are probably deathly afraid of xenomorphs. And the fine folks at Foxnet and D3 Go, Puzzle Quest, Marvel Puzzle Quest, want to put you to the test in a new chapter in the Alien franchise, in Alien Blackout, available today on your mobile device. In Alien Blackout, you must do all you can to stay alive while trapped aboard the crippled Weyland-Yutani space station that is carrying a deadly alien organism. You know, like the one in the movies. And the xenomorph definitely does not like your crew aboard the space station and is really ready to tirelessly hunt you down. Thank you, Jaren. Can you survive 7 fear-inducing levels as you take the reins as Amanda Ripley? Yes, that Amanda Ripley, which you may remember as Ellen Ripley's daughter, guides your crew in Alien Blackout through increasingly difficult, challenging situations using your wits and the station's failing emergency systems. I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like what you're doing. Alien Blackout is a unique fear-inducing space survival horror game that will test the inner nerves of both alien and horror fans alike. And you can go do it. Click on the link in the description or head over to d3go.com/kfgames and download Alien Blackout for the App Store, Google Play, and Amazon App Store. That is d3go.com/kfgames. If you're on YouTube, you can, of course, click on the link.
Greg Miller, I don't know if you knew this, but like in Alien Resurrection, I am a human alien hybrid. If I try hard enough and open my mouth, a tiny little Jared head comes out of my throat.
That's cool. That's hot. Second
one is do me a favor. Do we have the one?
Yeah.
All right, and now open your mouth wide, and then hold on. And then I want pause for it. Like, look more at the camera.
All right.
And then Reddit for as Jared's goodbye gift. Everybody give a tiny Jared head coming out of his mouth like an alien. I said, hold it. There you go. Okay, good. All right, they screen grabbed that. You can rewind it on YouTube, of course, too. Thank you very much.
Right,
audio listeners, I'm sorry. I apologize profusely for what's happening on this show. Reader mail! Let's start with Long Live the Keyblade. Hey, guys. Hope you enjoyed the Royal Rumble thingy. Sorry, not a wrestling guy. We did. You can hear about it on the Kind of Funny podcast on Friday. My question is, with Kingdom Hearts 3 out tomorrow, do you think we'll see Kingdom Hearts 4 one day? If yes, might it already be in development? Or was it all hands on deck to finish 3? Is it 14 years away? Also, do you think there will be DLC for Kingdom Hearts 3? Sorry to see you go, Jared. As a history nerd who's too young to remember anything pre-N64, I've loved your gaming insights. I hope we'll see you around Kind of Funny from time to time. Best of luck in your new job.
You know, I bet you Kingdom Hearts 4 sells pretty well. And what's that?
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, 3.
He's asking about 4.
Pretty well. Pardon. Yeah, what am I doing? I assume Kingdom Hearts 3 will sell pretty well, and assuming the contract with Disney continues for the next several years, and I don't know those contract details.
Of course.
But assuming that that partnership is cemented for a few years, yeah, absolutely.
Kingdom Hearts is such 4. A huge franchise.
Yeah.
The question I would have is, is it going to be 4, or is it going to be a reboot in some way? Are they going to do something completely different? I would say no, because that doesn't seem to be the franchise's history. People love the lore. They love how this all keeps going.
I think that where I'd lean in if I were them is in an attempt to bring more fans in, I'd create a game that's deeply seeped in the lore of the past series, but that's a fresh start. Something that's full of callbacks that you'll constantly, you know, kind of like that Rogue One thing. Like, oh, I know that. Oh, sure, I know that. Oh, I know.
I get that.
But you don't need those to invest and enjoy the game. I think if they could hit that sweet spot between those two places, a Kingdom Hearts 4, 5, and 6 that are a new trilogy would be a really neat approach.
And that's the thing is, like, and I'm not even trying to say this in a knocky way, right? Like, Square loves its long-running IP.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy, right? Yeah. Like, they make Kingdom Hearts continuing, has had so many spinoffs and stuff. They're not going to just be done and wash their hands from this franchise. There's going to be more.
They've made
11
Dragon Quests. They've made 15 Final Fantasies. They made, not to mention tons of spinoffs. But more than that, it's such a rich property. I tease a lot about Kingdom Hearts because it's such a unique situation where you've waited forever for what turned out to be a really good game. which is great. Yeah. Like that, usually those stories end so terribly. But this one appears to have ended well based on all the reviews we're getting. But it is fun to tease. But actually, I fully intend to play Kingdom Hearts 3. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think you're going to get a Kingdom Hearts 4, and I do think it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think that it's what Square loves, and it's a long-running IP they have, and it's made in Japan, right? Yeah. I think Western Studios, Square's, not me about, but like, you know, they struggle a bit more with like making those into things. They're not going to cut off something this successful.
And that's one other thing we should say, in case you're not aware of it. As big as Disney is in America, it's impossible to exaggerate how big Disney is in Japan.
Yeah.
It is, Disney is life. Disney is the biggest thing in Japan. And they don't want to abandon that domestic market either.
Chris from Richmond, Virginia wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. This is, hello, Greg and Jared. My question relates to Resident Evil 2 and general gaming history. I popped in Resident Evil 2 on Friday, sat on the couch with my wife at my side, and as soon as I was given control of Leon, I began my age-old ritual. I opened the options menu and switched to inverted controls. Boo! Boo! You're an inverted guy too?
It's one of those weird things. If I'm playing first person, it can't be inverted. But if I'm playing third person, it makes sense in my brain to have it inverted.
Oh, Barrett, I love you so much.
You guys are
I love
weird.
You too, Jared.
God, that's why we fired him. It's why I'll fire you one day too.
Fuck.
My wife chuckled, as she usually does, and I made some comment about it being the way games are supposed to be played. She replied that if that was the case, shouldn't games default to inverted? Then it dawned on me. Why did I grow up as an inverted gamer? My wife is 4 years younger, and she has never played a game inverted on purpose. Yet, I have always done so, and I seem to remember that used to be the default. I was born in 85 and grew up a Genesis kid before graduating to the N64 and then the original PlayStation. So my question is, how do you guys set your controls? Do you play with an inverted Y-axis or play normal? If so, what games trained you to want to do it the other way? Were early games defaulted to inverted? Maybe it was a couple games I played in particular, or maybe it was when I picked up PlayStation's DualShock for the first time. I can't remember. So what are your thoughts? Thanks to you both for making my 6:30 in the morning commute a little bit brighter.
A long time ago, flight games were a genre.
That's what I would have jumped to is what happened here. Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, flight games were a big genre. Lots of people. Now flight games are the most like niche thing imaginable. But there was a time that flight games sold huge numbers of copies.
I had my Game Boy and my Master System, but when we went to Aunt and Uncle Scott's, I always wanted to go up and get on his computer and play the flight sim.
Yeah, there was so much fun. You had Microsoft Flight Sim. You had Falcon 3.0. You had X-Wing and TIE Fighter and Aces Over the Pacific and Red Baron and on and on and on. And then it wasn't just PC ones. There were also arcade-style flight games on consoles that were very popular as well. People would play this. And things like Wing Commander that were more like action pseudo-sims. And all right, well, anyway, because those games were so popular, when people put you in a first-person perspective, sometimes because flight games were played from a cockpit, inversion seemed natural for a control scheme.
Sure.
And I think that's probably where its roots are, is that because flight games were so popular, people started giving you something that looked kind of like the same perspective with the gun sight, they would maybe take you that same way. And so inversion became a default or an option for some games. Greg, I am the most terrible monster imaginable. I have no idea what's wrong with me. But inversion for me is game by game.
Oh my God.
I get that too, though.
I play some FPSs inverted and some not.
That's bizarre.
I know. I play some third person, and I don't know why. And I can never tell you which one it's going to be beforehand. I'll be playing and I'll be like, I think I need to invert. Or I'll be playing invert and I'll be like, no, I want to play this.
Wow.
Flight sims are flight games are the only games I play default inverted all the time. Everything else is game by game.
Huh?
Question.
Non-inverted. Default. The way games are meant to be played.
Like if you're playing Ace Combat, do you invert?
No.
Wow. So even for flight stick controls.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think in the old days, I mean, flight simulators, I would do that. I remember playing Independence Day on a Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
And I think we were doing it that way. But it's just like, at some point, it got normal to not do it. Uh-huh. It is the rare thing that when I jump into a plane in a game, if it's one or the other, once I figure it out, it's done.
Yeah.
I don't need to think about it. But in terms of a first person game or even third person trying to control the camera, if it's inverted, it's the same thing of looking at the ground. And that's how Nick is the opposite way.
Are you
Nick
Will Smith where you flip over the controls in the spaceship? You're like, there's the printout. Flip it over there. And it's like, back up.
Question, do we think did tank controls in the early days maybe fuck us up a little bit too?
Well, I mean, tank controls literally come from a game called Tank. That's where that began and then just followed through. But tank controls I grew up with, so I don't have a problem with them.
Right.
But yeah, I think
I'm just
that's
wondering
some of
if
it.
That's something else that might have fucked us up.
I think so, because we raise and lower the gun, and yeah, that makes sense, Barrett. And that used to be a default for like action adventure games.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a great thought.
Yeah, Chris, you just gotta suck it up and stop playing inverted. You gotta change. We gotta send you guys to conversion camps.
No.
All right. Where we send you up there. And I preach the word of non-inverted controllers.
You gotta stop.
Yeah, and I fix it.
No,
I'm gonna fix everybody.
Okay.
Let me fix you, inverted people.
No.
That's
terrible. Not one that's not okay. No. So play how you want to play.
Yeah. I this is why I quit.
Yeah, exactly. Play how you want to play. Enjoy your lives. 38 player from PA wrote in to Kinda Funny. Nope. Damn it. You could have shocked me right there, Jared. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Good morning, Greg and Jared. Wesley Yin Poole of Eurogamer wrote an amazing feature on Starbreeze's rise and fall that deserves your time. Seeing another story regarding the failure of a prominent game developer and publisher left me curious about your take on the industry today. Do you believe our favorite industry will continue to thrive as it has in recent years, or is it due for a market correction due to things like games as a service fatigue, overinvestment in VR, questionable labor practices, and other issues? Would love to know your thoughts. And Jared, good luck on the next step in your career. Looking forward to your content with Free Association soon.
Okay, so I had a lot of thoughts about this, Greg, because last week there was also a story where a prominent analyst looked at the video game industry and predicted some contraction for a while, for the very first time in a very long time. Video games have grown steadily for many, many, many years. I am not an economist, and I don't have the ability to see the future magically. That said, I think there are strong indicators that not just the video game industry, but most industries are going to see some contraction in the next couple of years. And mainly I brought this in here because I think that what we need to remember is don't panic.
Exactly. Ebb and flow in business is normal, right? And the market is normal. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, it is my conviction right now that in the United States, the market, speaking in a very general way, is overvalued. And that we are probably very overdue for a correction, that the value of our businesses and our ability to manufacture and create good services and intellectual property is less, like the value is rated higher than the amount we can actually produce right now. When that happens, you're supposed to have a market correction. And I think that's probably where we're headed. And in video games, where people are investing, and then suddenly you have something like Tencent in China, which is a huge player, step back and go, nah, actually, maybe a little less. And you have the Chinese government get involved and say, maybe the
canary in the coal mine, right? Like, something's about to happen.
Yeah, and there's a lot of indicators right now that the industry may contract for a while. So don't panic. Games aren't over. In 83, everybody panicked and video games were over and people thought they were gone forever for a year in the States. Don't worry about that. We're going to have games.
Okay, good. As long as games continue to come. But yeah, I think it's the same thing of when you see a company that's made the wrong decisions to fail or lay people off or retract
contract.
Contract. Thank you very much. 3 hours of sleep. It's that thing of it's easy. Oh my God, the industry's changing. When in reality, it's correcting itself or it's just ebbing and flowing the way it's supposed to be, right?
I mean, we treat markets like they're a natural thing. They're not. Like, they're made up of people and they're made up of decisions. That's the other end of it. We can talk very naturally about this is what's supposed to happen.
Sure.
The other end is a lot of this is based on decisions. It is a synthesized system. We have control to a good degree over what happens in the market. The problem is the control we've exercised over the last several years has probably overvalued, and now we have to pay the piper. And that said, the one bad part of this is these are real human lives and real human jobs. That's the part that I don't want to be nonchalant about.
Oh, of course, of course. I know. And that's easy right now in the cold hypothetical of like, yeah, probably there will be something. That's how business works, right? And then we get to that day on Games Daily and it is like, oh man, it sucks that these people lost their jobs. This studio closed. We're not trying to make light of that.
Yeah, of course
not. But it is that thing of what we're talking about, right? Decisions are made at the top that then have ramifications a decade out.
And let's make the best decisions we can for today and tomorrow. I mean, the game industry can be pretty short-sighted sometimes.
Sure.
And so if we start thinking about what happens tomorrow, hopefully we can create a future where we're profiting a year from now and 5 years from now.
A better today. Oh, let's see. You got two questions here. I only want one. What's your favorite question here? You want Rami or you want Nate?
Let's see.
You want Metroid or you want more Kingdom Hearts?
I think that I'd probably like to hear. Oh, let's talk about that Metroid.
Rami Fawaz wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can as a bronze tier member, and says, what's up, Greg and Jared? As a follow-up to last week's news about Metroid Prime 4, do you guys think that Metroid's franchise is in the hot seat if the game does not perform well upon release. Scrapping years of work and starting over had to be a costly decision for Nintendo. Not to mention that Prime games are likely already more expensive than your average Nintendo project due to the high fidelity graphics and open 3D spaces. I'm concerned that after what is bound to be an around a five-year development cycle, if Prime does not smash sales records for the series, that the franchise could be placed on hiatus, just like it was after Other M. It's also worth noting that the Samus Returns for the 3DS did not breach 1 million copies, despite receiving a favorable reaction among fans and critics alike. Thanks for all you guys do. Jared, I just wanted to say that I really appreciated your voice and insightful opinions on both the Gamescast and Kinda Funny Games Daily. You were and will continue to be a fantastic addition to the Kinda Funny family. Wishing the best of luck in your future endeavors, Rami from Michigan.
I should have cut all those dice things out, but thank you.
No, you shouldn't.
Rami,
no, shush.
Of you. All right, yeah, I think this is a legitimate concern to a degree, but I also think Nintendo knows what they're getting themselves into and has tempered sales expectations for Metroid Prime 4. I think at this point it's just become a matter of delivering a quality game that they promised people. They've gone out and said, we're going to make this. One way to mitigate some of the damage, potentially, if they have the resources at a second-party studio available, would be to take Samus Returns and port it to Switch, which is not
that's
trivial.
What, with all due respect, I think that's what really hampered Samus Returns.
Yeah.
Is that it was, the Switch was out. Switch was a huge deal. We all loved the Switch. And then it was like, here's a great 3DS game. And it was totally a thing of like, I'm not going to pack two things on the road. Like, you know, I why didn't that come here?
I hate you so much.
Sorry, man. I am committed to that Switch, baby.
I mean, I love my Switch, but Samus Returns is a great video game.
Metroid's never clicked with me either, so I didn't have that thing. But like, I would have the time and the inclination to download it to my thing and be like,
yeah,
okay, well,
I think the problem is, the impression I get is that porting from 3DS to Switch is not trivial.
Oh, I'm not saying flip the Switch.
No,
make the game go from that to that.
No, effectively, you have to do every asset over.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah,
like and in a more expensive form because 3DS is very cheap. It has low resolution, which means the assets are easier to make and up-resing them. But I still think they'll do it, especially with this delay.
Sure.
Get a Metroid game out in between.
What do you think about the Metroid trilogy coming to Switch? Metroid Prime trilogy coming to Switch.
I think if there were any plans for that they've probably been scrapped along with this.
Really? Yep. Okay.
They want to get 4 out before they release 1 and 3. That's my guess.
Oh wow! I would hope that now that 4 is probably getting pushed out further, that you'd get the trilogy out to be like, hey, here is something and enjoy it.
I'm not sure. I think they're safer releasing Samus Returns for lower relative investment, and that you shelve Prime Trilogy.
That's what gets interesting about Metroid. We've talked about it on the Gamescast and shows and all that stuff. Of Metroid, while beloved, isn't a giant juggernaut in terms of sales, in terms of what these games do.
Yeah.
And that would be the thing, if they can't make it work with Metroid Prime 4, it doesn't return on investment the way they want. I don't think you'll ever see it go on. Oh, it's never going to go away.
Yeah,
everybody, it's beloved. Samus, everybody knows this stuff. I just think it'd be way more interesting for Nintendo to be like, all right, cool. We're going to just make smaller. We're going to make more Super Metroids, right? We're going to make those kind of games. We're going to give you that kind of series because the investment there isn't as intense. We know there is an audience for it. And we think that on the system that's doing bonkers numbers right now and everybody's so hot on, that you could maybe find a new audience there with a classic kind of
thing. I think there's a lot of potential for that. I think they looked at Other M, knew they screwed up, went, wow, our last console Metroid needed to lie fallow for a while.
Yeah.
I think it's another reason that they redid Prime is they have to get it right this time or they're going to bury the franchise and they know it.
Yeah.
I don't think they're special. I mean, they want to make money. But I think this is a goodwill thing for them. This is, hey, American fans, we know you're a huge part of our market, and we have not forgotten you. And I think the game will, I honestly think the game will make plenty of money. I don't think they're particularly, they lost a lot here on the write-off, but I think in the end, this will still be a profitable game for them. And then we'll see a Metroid Prime 5 on next-gen hardware, probably. I think that's very likely.
Okay.
Because this is a corner of creativity that works really well for them, and it is an act of fan service to a point to give us a new Prime game.
Sure.
Plus, they're just really good. I mean, Metroid Prime 1 is still among the better first-person games I've ever seen in a lifetime of playing them.
Yeah,
I don't know your thoughts on Prime 1.
I watched my roommate Kyle play him on GameCube, and that was the thing, or 1 and 2 on GameCube. And I never played him because I was in there eating my Tostino's party pizza, watching him do it. And I was like, this game seems cool. I would love to play that on Switch. I would love to have that, you know, ready to go.
Someday you will, apparently.
Yeah, we'll see.
That'll be sometime.
Jared, it's time to squad up.
Right.
This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a good time together. Today, Aaron needs help on Xbox One. His Xbox One username is The King of Zing. All one word. Hey, y'all. I have Friday the 13th, Siege, Fortnite, and more, and would love to game with some of the kind Xbox, kind of funny, best friends. If you want to play Friday the 13th, Siege, Fortnite, and more, hit up The King of Zing. Become their friend. Aaron will take care of you, and you'll all play games together.
I like that name, The King of Zing.
That's a really good name.
That's a really good one. I like that.
Time for You're Wrong. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So I can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Capitalist Pig writes in and says about Resident Evil 2 ghost stories. The closest side content was in the original Resident Evil 2 was the hunk tofu stuff, which is already in the base game right now as unlockable.
Tofu! I was so excited.
A whole bunch of people wrote in to say that the Z in Dragon Ball Fighters is just fighters. Stop saying fighters.
Fighters Z.
Well, I capitalized it then. And I know because it's like Dragon Ball Z, but like it's confusing. You know what I mean? I don't like sounding like your mother. Do you want the Nintendo, honey? You want a Nintendo game? The game for the Nintendo?
You want some Pokemon?
Yeah, who wants a Pokemon?
How about Dragon Ball Fighter Zoro? He left the sign of the Z.
No, I don't like that. I don't like that.
You know, Zorro?
I'm a fan.
OG Batman? Zorro?
Multiple people write in to say Nomura, of course, the director of Kingdom Hearts, has said that, yes, there will be more Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts 3 is just the end of the Xehanort saga.
Xehanort.
Yes. Dorks. You know what I mean?
The Dragon Ball Z saga.
Get out of here. You know what I'm saying? You clowns. Where's Patapontu? Oh, here we go. Oh, and that's the reader mail. Sorry, Kebabs. You almost snuck in. Good job. Kebab says, Greg, it's confusing putting a Z in Internet Explorers as well, but you handle it just fine. Well, I mean, I wouldn't have done that. That's not how I would have spelled Internet Explorers.
Okay.
So
how else would you spell it?
There's an S in the alphabet that I would have used.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Whatever. Time for a rotating segment. Not the one you put in because we already talked about that.
Okay.
Instead, this one comes from twitter.com/gameovergreggy where I asked everyone, hey, it's Jared Petty's final Kinda Funny Games Daily. What are your favorite Jared Petty moments?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. It happened here. I used the gif of me bongoing you and Kevin, and a lot of people responded that that is, in fact, their favorite one. So, Mr. Megative said that.
Your shirt off here. It's a guaranteed
that's
win.
That's why, yeah.
Right.
Of course, Ratchet and Clank fan says anything with him and Gary Widow is always superb. Gonna miss you on Kinda Funny, Jared. Chris Moore says that one time Jared had to show his rage for an email and it felt unnatural because he is the embodiment of happiness in the world. Of course, remember that. Peter here, Jared's gaming history, the ongoing, never-ending segment on Gamescast. It'll never be completed now.
It will never be completed.
And most importantly, mobile gamer bullshit. Something that changed the Gamescast forever.
Ugh.
And we have to figure out how to do this.
They're very easy. You Google a bunch of stuff.
Alien 8 Dave says, is this Greg just future-proofing again? No, he's leaving Kinda Funny. sorry that you found out from a vague tweet and you think I'm joking. No, that's not it. Andy says, I loved how excited he was about games and how he always had a story that tied to them. We'll miss you, Jared. R.I.P. Because you're dead now. That's how this works.
I'm dead to you. I'm dead to the best friends.
James Cobb says, all of Jared's micro essays are moving. Of course, he's talking about Hop, Lip, and a Jump. You can go still watch. They're on YouTube. And his gaming history podcast was adorable and so genuine. A lot of people just like in your storytelling, of course.
Ranting.
Yeah. Brandon Gann says, I had the pleasure of briefly getting to meet him right after Kinda Funny Live 3's conclusion. There was a lot of us up on the balcony, and the fact that he took some time to briefly speak with me meant so much. And remembering he called me a fool for being a patron of his still makes me chuckle.
Yeah. Yeah. Brandon is a fool.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like him, but he's a fool.
Dat Paleboy says the time he let Andy use his mic, then proceeded to put his arm around him and stared at the camera for several minutes without blinking.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I forgot about that one too. Yeah. Darth Poopsie, his endless positivity towards the very concept of video games and his love of the history of gaming will be missed. I'm so happy for you, Jared, and I can't wait to see more from you.
Thanks. I do love the games.
You do love the games, and of course, you'll still be talking about the games here and there when you can do this stuff. So follow Jared. Still be a part of that. You know,
I love the games.
You do love the games. That's why you fit in so well here. Because, of course, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, you should be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can, of course, correct us at KindaFunny.com/you're wrong. Watch later on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. And I think I might have just covered him, actually. I think I threw an and in there. 3 hours of sleep. You know what I mean? Again, it's just all over the place.
You know what? You're doing great.
Thank you. Thank you. But most importantly, Jared, thank you.
Thank you. This is now I'm going to cry again.
I know, me too.
He's going to turn the lights off. That'll really good cry. Okay, no, not doing it.
No, just, you know, I can't thank you enough for doing this journey with us.
I can't thank you enough for giving me a job.
Yeah. Especially no, I mean, one you I know, really you, liked. You joke. You brought up the story in the front of like saying, like, we'll make content together one day and stuff. And it, you know, it's crazy that that was a dream at one point that you didn't know if we actually crossed the finish line, if we'd make it there, would be a thing. But you know, it all worked out enough, and you were nice enough to come, you know, contribute your talents for a year to Kinda Funny and really build something incredibly special here with us. And I'll always be thankful for that.
I'm gonna miss you.
I'm gonna miss you too. And that's the thing, is you know, I won't talk to you once you leave.
No, of course.
Danny O'Dwyer left, dead to me. Clements left, not Kinda Funny, even just beyond, just dead to me. Like that's how it's gotta be. Yeah, you know, I left IGN, all of them dead to me.
RIP.
I don't know what I mean. They fired me. They fired you. And then I'm firing you. I'm pretty close to firing Barrett too, I think.
Why?
You didn't come to Arizona.
You didn't invite me.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the cast for Kinda Funny Games Daily this entire week. Okay. Tuesday, it's me and Fran. Wednesday, it's me and Gary. Thursday, it's Fran and Britt from What's Good Games. We have some very special stuff cooking on Thursday that I'll be happy to tell you about eventually. And then Friday, it's Tim and a mystery guest, because I changed my flight to go on vacation to Canada and I forgot to book a guest. So we'll see what happens. Jared, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to work with you.
It was a pleasure. I miss you.